Some of you may know that I'm also leading the NC State Student Fellowship. Most students are from China. They are here in their undergrad students, and you know, we gather every Friday, about 40, 50 people, you know, study Bible. And one of the students, a beloved one, and we all loved her very much recently, asked a question about how to pray for a very important exam. Right? An exam's coming up, and how to pray. If I fail that exam, I may have to leave, you guys. So that's very important. And we discussed, you know, this is actually a deeper question that we discovered. It's a question about who God is and what is the relationship between man and God. It's all about truth. It's all about truth. So John's gospel actually speaks very heavily about the perspective of truth. Now, this is the second time, I don't know if you remember, very easily to forget. This is the second in the series of a Gospel of John preaching. And so we'll look at a few verses, chapter 1 in the Gospel of John today together. So let's bow our heads and pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for getting us together to listen to your word. And thank you for the abundant grace that you pour onto us every day. We thank you for the fellowship we have here, the great worship time, so that we pray you open every one of us, our eyes and our hearts, to listen to your words, to experience that grace. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the Gospel of John, when Jesus speaks, if you pay attention, many times Jesus said what? I tell you the truth, and then so on and so on. And you don't really see that from other Gospels. If you pay attention, you see that. It's about, I counted about 25 times Jesus says that. And also in, you may know, in the same Gospel of John, Jesus said very famously that I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So he talked about the truth. It is actually a very surprising statement, right? If you think about it, it's a very surprising statement that the truth is also the way to the truth and is the life given and the living with the truth. So I bet your head, mine was, I bet your head will spin if you really think about it and really think what it means to us. Right? So Gospel John chapter 1, verse 10. It says, he was in the world, and through the world was made through him. The world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Well, many of us are very familiar with these verses, right? It's just the beginning of John. But if you think deeper, it has some very profound meaning. Wikipedia said, so what is truth? Have you ever thought about what truth is? Right. Wikipedia said, truth is most often used to mean being in accord with the fact or reality. So, okay, so truth is about the fact and reality. What is your reality? What's your reality? Are you standing or sitting here listening, laughing, thinking something else, thinking your exam, thinking what to eat at lunch? What's your reality at this moment? It's about reality. And psychologists said that truth tend to lead successful actions. So if you have truth, that may lead you successful actions. So people work very hard to find the truth through their work, right? And we'll try to work out and try to figure out what's the truth for us, right? If it leads us to success. Well, listen and read the verse again. Surprisingly, it said what? People in the world did not recognize nor accept the truth. We don't recognize. We don't accept. We say, oh, I accept truth. I recognize truth, right? But Bible said no. People don't. So you disagree with Bible. But why? You might ask, how hard is it to understand the truth, right? How hard is it to understand truth? It's hard, to tell you, because we have different mindsets. We have different mindsets from Bible. The world's mindset is like this, right? It is based on scarcity, the word scarcity. There's always not enough resource, not enough time, not enough money, and we always want more because it's scarce. And it is very competitive, right? It's very competitive. If you want to live well, or even you want to live, you have to be good, right? How many of you are good? Are really good? Are you good? Are you good at school? Are you good at home? Are you better than the one next to you? Are you good? All right. And then people tend to judge. We say people judge book by its cover, right? It is true. People judge that. Do you work hard at the school? What grade do you get? Your parents, friends will ask you that, maybe, right? So we judge every day, every moment. I bet you are judging me at this moment. What this guy's talking about? I don't like him, or maybe I like him. But that's how we live. Every moment, right? We judge. So we are constantly being judged, and we feel being judged. We are constantly judging others and competing with others. Is that true? Do you agree? Is that true? This is always a little voice in back of our mind and saying, I'm not good. I am not good looking. I'm not capable. I'm not experienced to do this. Then I have to be better for people to accept me. I have to be smarter to have people like me. If I do wrong, I'm done. I'm finished. If I don't make the right choice, I don't have choices anymore. You know what? Need to have a better SAT. Be honest, please. Say, I don't care SAT. I don't believe you. You want to have a better SAT. You need to have a better GPA. If you work like me, work for IBM, constantly people measure you. Do you do your job better or improve? Do you do your job well? So, it is the reality, right? Do you think it's a reality? We talk about truth, we talk about reality. Is it the reality? Right? Is it the reality? Is it the truth? I'm thinking so. And yet, because we live in the world, and we are not, nobody is immune from the little voice. That little voice I mentioned earlier. It comes naturally. Even in prep of this sermon, I tell you, okay, when I prepare this sermon, I was thinking, the voice came and people may not like your message. work? What if they get bored? What if they lost interest? What if they get bored and sleep? Oh, if they sleep, they make noise, they snore. Or what if they snore and then can affect the person next to me, right? So the voice going on and on and on. You see, we live in a performance-based world. Because the problem, and the problem is that the little voice, it does not really help you. Do you think that voice help you? It may stop you do something. You're not sure. You're not certain. So I may stop because I think, you know, I'm not good at it. If I do something silly, people might laugh. So I'm not doing it, right? So you're probably, you know, not doing something because you're not certain. But over time, it makes you intimidated. It makes you intense. It makes you defensive. Always say something wrong about me, not good. I'm not happy. I need to defend. I need to tell that person I'm good. If we trace back where this thing came from, if we trace back, Genesis 3, chapter 3 and verse 4, that said the snake, right, told Adam and Eve to be like God, knowing good and evil. From that moment, we have been like God. And we want to know good and evil. We want to judge good and evil. We always want to say, this is good, this is bad. You are good, you are bad. But John here speaks in a completely different mindset. A completely different mindset. It's a grace. You are still not convinced there's a difference, right? It's different. Just imagine that, right? Think about this. Many of us here are parents, and many of us here are teenagers, right? You're a teenager. How different you think about things different from your parents. Well, parents, how different we think things from what the teenagers think, right? Sometimes we're frustrated. There's no way you can understand me, right? We're frustrated. Very different. And the difference, you multiply many, many times. Just multiply. That's the mindset. How different. God's mindset and our mindset. You think it's easy, it is not. So the truth John told us here is not a theory. It's not a theory. It's not a conclusion or piece of information. But the truth is what? Truth is here, if you read carefully, the maker of the world. It's the maker of the creation. It's the creator. And he has direct relationship with us. Came to the world, if you read it. Right? Made the world and came to the world. It is, I call it, ultimate truth. This is the title of today's sermon. Ultimate truth. It's ultimate truth. Above all men, creation. So now you can do a little bit of homework, right? To keep you awake. Just fill in the blanks here. You have your balloon. Just fill it in here. The truth is not from the world. It's not from the world, but from above. So there's no way to get to the ultimate truth through philosophical work. Think hard, scientific work, or even religious work. We may think we do, we are more religious. We make it there. Probably not. The world is on an always upward mindset. We want to be better. Try to be hard. Try to work out. And I want to be better than so-and-so, right? This upward mindset. Try to go up. Try to make effort to reach God. Remember what Genesis said about the power of Babel, right? But grace comes down from heaven. It's from up and down, comes to us. Instead of earning and performing, what do we need to have a grace-based mindset? Have you ever thought about it? It's trust and wait. It's trust and wait. So that once you know the truth, come totally different, right? And I can tell you from this verse, you know the outcome is not to make you a better person. Outcome is completely different. It is not to make you a better person. But you are what? Born of God. You are completely different. You are transformed. Better person. So I'm more polite. So I'm a little smarter than I can do things better. It's not. Make you born of God, make you completely different. And make you living the world very different. Okay. And so here, since the truth is not to be figured out by man, right? And so what we need to do? Do we try to figure out what the truth is? No, right? You want to listen. That's why you need to read Bible very carefully. That's the reason. Do you know why you want to read Bible? Because my mom told me so. Because Pastor Miller wanted me to read. Is that so? No. Because you cannot figure it out yourself. You have to read. You have to listen. Alright? So, here we have to listen very carefully about truth. Now, the truth is given like this, okay? Again, it's not that what you figure out. It's given like this, Bible here. 1 John 1:4 says, the world became flesh. The word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. The word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. So it is what? Truth. Truth is about what? You may know the word incarnation, right? So truth is about incarnation. So it's incarnational truth. And the gospel, we know, is a good news. Do you think a gospel is good news? Oh, I just know something good. It's good news. It sounds good. Do you know when the good news, the word, went back to where it came from at the time of Romans? Good news is tremendously important because so-called good news was the victory news coming from the front line of battle. So your country and the other countries fighting, if that country wins you, if it wins my country, then what would be happening? Do you know that? You will lose your country. You will be captivated. You will be the slave. And so people intensively listen, what is the news in front? And once the news come back, say, we won. Such a good news, because that changed your life. And today, we don't experience that. Nah, it's just good news. It's gospel, the Bible. What are you going to do for me? Listen, maybe in worship time or Sunday service, we'll talk about Friday fellowship. It is a victory news that changed our life, impact our lives. So, it is the truth. It is very important, right? It is the truth. It is very important. It's not a theology, I want to tell you. It is not the theology. It is not a theology. So, and John, and 1 John here, if you know that verse, right? So what John said, at the end time, there are many false prophets come in and talk to different things. And so people ask, what should I believe? Right? And how do I tell who's saying right, who's saying wrong, who's true, who's not true, false? So John said here in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 said, he warned the Christians to test the Spirit and to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone into the world, and this is what he says to test. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Is that too simple for us? Or is it too hard to understand? And I heard a theologian said, you know, there were three different worldviews, right? If you know what worldview is, but three different worldviews. Number one is material worldview. So there's no God, okay? And you may learn from your textbook, whatever. That's just one worldview. There's no God. Everything is material, right? And try to work hard to make the material better, the matter better, right? And there, the second worldview is so-called dualistic spiritual view. Very spiritual, but dualistic, right? So you have to, think it's just the just pursue the good of spirit and forget about anything else, right? The third worldview is here what John's talking about, our incarnational worldview. God came down to the world, into the world, to be with us. It's not we work hard to chase something, either materialistic or spiritual. It's not we work hard, but God is here to help us. Right, so it's very different. So John 1:4 here in the second part, he said, we have seen his glory and the glory of one, the only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. See here, what Jesus brought us, what did he bring us? It's grace and truth, right? It's grace and truth. So what is grace? Sometimes we really have a hard time. What grace is like? What grace is like? We have a few people here named Grace. What grace is like? Alright. So I, the other day, I read the news from CNN. It's a little small news to CNN, talking about a small hotel in Canada. There was a very old, for 40, 50 years, a safe box. You know what a safe box is? A safe box, and it locked. It's kind of, a little bit, people treat it like ancient stuff, right? Very old safe box. And people try to break it, try to figure out what's in it, right? And so the hotel, actually it's a museum. It's not a hotel, it's a museum, sorry. The safe box was from a hotel many years ago. So so they called locksmith. They called locksmith. They called the manufacturer. They called the expert, trying to figure it out. Just open the lock, right? They couldn't. So they tried many times, and they had to sit there in the basement of the museum. And that day, when there was a traveler. Came with a family, like two children, wife, him, and then went through that case, and everyone got to try. So they give up, and so let everyone try, right? So everyone could try, and he just went there, and put three numbers left and right, and pop, it opened. What a surprise! Nobody would have thought of it. Yeah, what a surprise! It's pop open. And people ask him, right? He said, that was totally a surprise, totally a luck, right? I was just purely a guess. He's like, but that little news led me into thinking. I'm not just using this as an analogy of grace, right? But I want to just give you a little bit hint here, as a hint. Grace does not come from, like, something you work very, very hard and you get it. Very, very hard, you might not get it. And all of a sudden, that's why you need to pay attention. Now, if you know this guy, probably you know this guy, Joshua Bell. You know Joshua Bell? You play violin with Joshua Bell, right? So Joshua Bell,
actually is a very, very famous musician, right? Plays a violinist in the United States. And so a few years ago, I don't know if you heard that, a few years ago, Washington Post did an experiment on a Friday, about the rush hour on Friday, a little bit earlier than 8 o'clock. So Joshua Bell, with his super expensive violin. His violin is very expensive. You know what? That violin is 300 years old. And you can see how expensive it would be, right? So, and he played very famous and beautiful music from history. Not something new, everyone ever heard. It's very nice music. So they let him to play the Washington, D.C. in one railway station, just like in the lobby, play, okay? And you know, when he plays in the concert room, the price usually over $100, that's for sure. If you want to get into a concert, over $100. And even 2 weeks after that experiment, he had a standing performance, meaning not he standing, he for sure stands. Everyone stands, everyone listens. The audience stands because what they want to pay respect. And if somebody wants to cough, they have to hold to the end, truly. And nobody coughs during that performance. They have to hold towards the end, to the end. So you can see how respect, right, people, have people to him. So, and even after that, so they interviewed National Symphony Director and asked him, what do you think during the rush hour, if 1,000 people walk by, how many people would stay and listen to the music, the beautiful music played by a most talented musician through a most expensive instrument? Right? Answer was from the director, right? So at least 100, 200, right? And he said, who's that musician, right? He asked, and then they told the interviewer, Joshua Bell. He said, no way, it's more than that, a lot more than that, right? All right, so you know what the result? In the 3/4 of an hour, 45 minutes, Joshua Bell played. How many people stopped? I know you're smart. They tried to beat me. Seven people stopped. Thousands of people moved. Seven people stopped. And they were doing, they just hang around and, stop meaning to hang around and not from beginning to the end, right? Just, a few minutes and they continue. Seven people, right? At least for a minute. Seven people stopped only for a minute. And 27 give money. Poor Joshua Bell. 27 people give him money. And for a total of how much money that musician, earned during that 45 minutes, I bet it's more than you and me earned. $32. $32 and some changes, coins and pennies. They calculated from the calculation, the counted from the counts, more than 1,070 people passed in a hurry, going on their work, get to their work. Something very, interesting that day. Do whatever they do, they missed. They missed such a beautiful thing for free. And you can walk up, Joshua Bell, can you sign for me? You might say, I won't. I bet you will. Grace is so easily missed because it's free. And it's so good. And it's free. And that's why it's so easily to be missed. John Newton said once, yet though I am not what I ought to be, or what I wish to be, or what I hope to be, I can truly say that voice of God, I am what I am. Are you what you are? Or are you playing somebody else? We usually play somebody else. We want to look good, right? We want to look good. We play somebody else. Because we don't know grace. We don't know how. And John Newton said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. I wanted to tell you a quick story, but since we're running out of time, so let me make it very quickly. So there was a movie called Babette's Feast, right? It was a woman ran from France, you know, in France they cook very, very, very delicious stuff like we cook in China, like your parents cook very delicious. And so he went, it was wartime, he went to Denmark, right? And he actually ended up, because he escaped from war, so he wasn't able to get a good job, so he lived with two nuns and in the village, small congregation of very, you know, people go to church every day and very good. But they eat something very simple. Salted cod every day, codfish every day, salted. And stole bread every day. Can you imagine that they eat every day? But they're happy, okay? They're not happy, they're satisfied. And so one day, after 14 years, she cooked for them the same thing because she wanted to make a living there, so they give them a, you know, the two nuns actually very graciously give her that job and to be the cook, and she cooked for 14 years. And all of a sudden, he went to Paris, and he won a lottery. It's big money, right? And so he was very happy, and people thought he would leave. But he said, well, I will treat you guys real meal from France, from Paris. And he was, we're good. No, we don't want it. We're good. You know, we're good. We'll be happy. And so, but he decided, he said, I will treat you guys. I'm going to treat something very different. So they even had a meeting. Said, do we want this thing? You know, he wanted to treat us some different food. You know, is it wine or food? That's probably, right? But they decided to take it, so he went to Paris and went back with, you know, a truck of, you know, stuffed food and served them. At the beginning, they were very suspicious, you know, just very silly. They didn't know it good or bad. And as the feast going on, the whole thing changed. They enjoyed so much. And then, at the end, they found out this lady was the top chef in Paris, and he worked at the most expensive restaurant. And yet, 14 years, she was doing the meal for them. And when the feast went on, people start to cheer up and experience joy and start to dance. They never done that. They go to church every day, every Sunday. They know the Lord, and they never had that experience of being joyful and laugh. And they eventually, the movie disclosed that the lady, Babette, she spent all her money. How the feast expensive? People have no idea, right? He spent all the lottery, it's huge money he spent for the 12 people, in the village. He spent all the money just to give them that experience. That was the movie. So I wanted to just let you know, when I tell you a little bit about this movie, that once you are in an experience grace, how different it could be. How different it could be. And the grace is so priceless, yet comes free. Okay, and Psalm 85:10 says, mercy and truth come together. Because we usually, you think this verse, what's the big deal, right? I tell you. Because if you think again, think truthfully, you'll say, mercy and truth may not come together. I tell you, if you think a world, the mindset, it doesn't come together. Reality is difficult. We always face the reality. I have to work hard. I have to earn. But how grace, this is mercy, and truth come together. Beautiful verse from Bible. And now, the next, quickly, the next verse
one testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.'" And when you read this verse, okay, this is what John claimed, right? But do you see that's not logical? It's not logical. There's no human logic can figure it out. Somebody's come before and then, somebody comes after and actually before me. So what he says here is, from visible world, somebody is after him, right? You can see, it's the body of Christ, right? Jesus, his body, he came and he touched him, and, you know. But invisibly, in the invisible world, he was before him. That is not a normal logic that we would use. So it is different. Here, what John tells us is that we cannot figure out God by our logical thinking. It's simple as that. We cannot figure out God. So John is giving his testimonial, his testify. That's why testify, you know, when we testify what? Our life. Our experience. And here it says, now I just leave it for a second. It's logical, it's not from the logical thinking, but through experience, through our experience. It's not you learn from the book. It's not you learn from a class teaching. It is an experience. All right, lastly here, it says, made his dwelling among us. Dwelling, the word dwell, is what in Exodus used the same word. It's the tabernacle. So dwelling here is tabernacled among us. Make tabernacle amongst us. And what does that mean? When Jewish people, the Jews, cross the desert, every day they experience hardship. Every day they experience something difficult, challenge. How they gone through the 40 years in the desert, God's grace, living with them, not once a while, but every day, but every moment. That's how we experience, when we say the word experience, that's how we experience every day, every moment that you can. So don't let go every moment. So here, concluded, for law was given through Moses, and grace and truth came from Jesus. What are we going to focus on? Is it law or grace and truth? What law is? What is law? Right? What law gives us? It is what you need to do this, you need to do that. If you don't do this, you better watch out. If you don't do this, just see what you get, right? That's law. But grace is completely different. It's completely different. So God revealed the truth, revealed grace, the truth about grace through his only son, Jesus. And we can only know that, through our experience with him, not just knowing in our head. So let me quickly summarize what we talk about today. The world's mindset is very different from the mindset of Bible. The world asks us to always work hard, moving upward. But Bible says the grace comes down from heaven. And Jesus became flesh. He's not far from us. He's not only a figure 2,000 years ago in history, but he could be every moment with us. Do you feel sometimes depressed? Do you feel frustrated, sad? Do you feel a little bit proud? Whatever. What do you do? That moment that you can experience grace. So, Jesus came to us. It's not giving us an information about, hey, God, and God loves you. It's not only giving us information. He wants transformation in us, in our transformation is through the experience. So we need to experience it. We need to live with faith, and we need to wait. We need to treat others with grace and love. That's how you learn to live in a graceful life. We need to give grace to others. So at the end, I tell you when I prepare the sermon, in times it was difficult, very difficult. Jessica knows that. Very difficult. And to the point, I said, I can't make this sermon, and I give up, and I won't do an English sermon anymore. The English sermon to me is difficult. I said, no. But all of a sudden, something came. Right? It just, little miracles like that give you what you can talk about, give you some anecdotes here and there. Right? So, the message may not make any meaning to you, okay? This could be a bad message or poor message delivered. It's okay. But one thing I think is your chance to practice grace to this poor speaker. Okay, so let's bow our heads. Thank you, Heavenly Father.